Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So the Nationals lose 8-4 today at Nationals Park, as we mentioned, in front of a, well, crowd of 20,237 that was announced. Obviously, there was a lot less there, and I just don't know what to tell you. It's a 1 o'clock game. It's a terrible, 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 awful time for the Nationals, Major League Baseball, and the Mets. I guess the Mets have some part in this, to schedule a game on a Wednesday afternoon in the first week for many of school, and week two, week three, depending on what school district, county, whatever, that you live in. I'm sorry, everybody's back to work, everybody's off of vacation, everybody's everybody's commuting in on a Wednesday around here. You got to kind of know your climate. You got to kind of know your market. To play a 1 o'clock game this week, last week a little bit different because not everybody had started back up at school yet. And I don't know when everybody starts and whatever. I mean, everybody starts a different time, a different whatever. The point is you could have made a better argument for a 1 o'clock start last week. And I understand on Labor Day, I was there as well. It was a 1:05 start, same time, and there was only 25,000 people there. So maybe the crowd was just not going to come, period. I don't know. But here's what I do know. It's like this disconnect, right? The fans are getting very, 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 very angry that we at 106.7 The Fan, reporters, media, all of us here on this radio station, Barry Sverluga, The Washington Post, the fans are getting very upset, very salty that we keep talking about the attendance or lack thereof. But if you notice, every time Anthony Rendon does a terrible, awful, dreadful, just eye-sucking interview with I've known her as Alex Cordry forever, Alex Chapel of Masson, every time he does one, hey, grab your friends, we need you, come on out, we need you. He did the same thing Friday night. I don't know what Kurt Suzuki said last night. I had honestly given up on the game even before the Mets scored a bunch of runs in the ninth inning. I kind of thought the game was over. I kind of thought the Mets were going to win. Obviously, they didn't. We all know what happened. The Mets scored a ton of runs in the top of the ninth, and the Nationals scored more in the bottom of the ninth. But the attendance was only 20,000 and change yesterday. It was like 20,600 or whatever it was. I wrote it down. Let me see here if I can check, get my own chicken scratch. Like 20,759, and it was only like 500 less today. Whatever. Doesn't matter. I mean, it does matter. But it doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. The point being is today, in a rubber match of the series against a divisional rival, Brock, what are you doing? I mean, this is not the Rooster Cast. Trying to do a radio show. I love you, Brock, but I'm trying to do a radio show. You're keeping your eyes on him? I mean, oh, God. Can I get a belly slap at least if I got to watch that? Ah! Wait a second. Yes! If I was going to be subjected to look at that thing, man, woo! Baby! Anyway, look, people get mad at us, okay? You guys should not get mad at the media. You guys should not get mad at us here at 106.7 The Fan. We have nothing to gain. I mean, I saw EB on Twitter this morning call it a poopy sports town or a poop sports town or whatever, and he got destroyed from the way it looked on Twitter when I was half asleep. Now, listen, EB can do whatever the hell he wants because he's part of the junkies, right? He can say whatever he wants. He's got a right. He's got a forum. He's earned it. Whatever you think of it, he's got a right to say whatever he wants to say, okay? I'm personally not going to say that, even though it's frustrating at times. I'm not going to say that, okay? But the bottom line is this. I think fans get mad. I know fans get mad at us in the media for talking about this. The players are talking about this. There was zero juice in that ballpark today. Even early on when they were stranding runners and not able to break through against Zach Wheeler, who quite honestly gave them every freaking opportunity to get a couple of runs on the board. And they did get one, but every opportunity to win that game. And they got one. There was no buzz, no juice, no energy. And now they go on the road for a big four-game trip at Atlanta and then a tough road trip after that even before coming back next Friday night again against Atlanta. There's got to be more energy. There's got to be something better than there's got to be more than that. It's got to be more than that. There's got to be more than that. And there, quite honestly, isn't enough. It's not just about the raw number. It's about the feel in the ballpark, the buzz in the ballpark. And there just was nothing there today. And whoever was left last night, and many of you left, yes, you were there. Yes, you were loud. Yes, you were happy. Yes, you were excited. But a lot of you left. And I don't blame you for leaving. It's late. But the point of the matter is, if we want this team to have every possible chance of catching the Braves, of holding off the Cubs, of beating the Mets in a three-game series, there needs to be more energy, more buzz, more juice, more people, more everything. And that's not all on you. A lot of that is on the learners. But I don't know how we solve it if we don't continue to talk about it, address it, and if we don't bury our heads in the sand. So that might piss you off that we talk about it, that we bring it up. I'm not calling out the fans specifically. Obviously, you guys have a part to do yourselves. But this is as much about the learners, if not more about the learners, than it is the fans. I'm just telling you, I was at two of these three games, and the ballpark was completely dead. Just completely dead. Dead on arrival. Completely dead. Undertaker dead. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. We're with you overtime on the Fan. A little bit late to our first break, but we'll come back and we'll wrap up this hour and then we'll get it going. Earl Forsey will join us as well in studio, and you can too. 800-636-1067 on the Fan. We'll get to the Redskins next hour. Off to Atlanta for a huge four-game series. Lose two out of three to the Mets. Listen, the Nationals have still been tremendous, obviously, since Memorial Day weekend. Nothing to cry about here. Nothing to be really upset about. 78-60, you're going to lose some series. We got it. We understand that. As long as they don't lose, you know, get swept in Atlanta, lose three out of four, whatever, they'll be okay. But quite honestly, and I didn't want to hammer you guys with this, but it's been such a big topic between everything that we talk about here on the station, and it's multiple shows and multiple guests, and everyone that I see writing about the team, blogs, Barry Sverluga, Washington, you know, like, I know you guys all hate the media. I get it. You guys look at the media, it's the same syndrome that the Redskins fans have. Oh, the big, bad, evil media. Oh, you guys suck. You guys are terrible. You guys are just trying to bring us down. You guys are trying to make us miserable. You guys are just trying to create a story. Listen, there is no story to create when Anthony Rendon, who has the personality of a freaking saltine cracker, okay? There is no storyline to create when every time he opens up his mouth in front of the crowd, he says, guys, we need you. Get your friends. We need you. Now, you don't have to answer the bell. You're under no obligation. You are under absolutely no obligation to fill the learner's pockets. I get it, guys. It's expensive as bleep. It's a pain in the ass to get down here. I hate it. It sucks. I'm going to tell you flat out. We don't get to park for free around here. I had to pay $30 and still take the Metro to the ball game today. Okay? And pay $30 for parking. And I still have a mile walk when I get out of here at 10:30 tonight. Back to my car. Because parking is such a pain in the ass around here. It sucks. I get it. I understand it. I'm for you guys. You know, not everybody is. I understand the challenges that a family of three or four or two or whatever, or even one, has of getting to the ballpark. I got it. I understand it. I'm with you. What can be done? I don't know exactly. I have plenty of ideas. There's all sorts of ways that they can get you to be more comfortable in coming down here. But here's the bottom line. While they are trying to be resistant on the business side, for whatever reasons they have, this ball club needs you not on a Tuesday night, October the 2nd, when the Phillies or the Cubs are here. You'll be here. But they need you next Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the Monday after that, the Tuesday after that. They need you for the doubleheader on Tuesday, September 24th, against Bryce Harper and the Phillies. You get my point. They needed you today. They needed you last night. They needed you on Monday. And somehow the divide is there for whatever the reason is, and there's plenty of good reasons. So how do we solve it? Again, I don't have a perfect answer other than if I was the learners, I'd slash prices across the board. Get fannies in the seats. They will buy more beer, buy more hot dogs. Come next time. Come next homestand. Next week. Find a way to not make parking $35 or $40, especially in the lots that you run and control and own. Find a way. Find a way to get Metro to stay open later than 11 o'clock. They don't want to do it. They don't care enough. So you guys take the brunt of it, but I'm one of the only guys. I'm not saying I'm the only guy. I'm one of the only guys that's willing to say, hey, you know what? The learners are at minimum 50% responsible for this problem, for this issue, for the umbrage that you guys are taking out on the media. For Anthony Rendon, again, personality like a freaking turtle. Calling you guys out left and right. Not calling you out negatively, but pleading with you, advocating for you to get your friends, your boys, your girls, your brothers, sisters, whatever, to come to the ballpark to create the energy. Everyone, a lot of people on this station are going to tell you, just come down. Just come down. The fans suck. The fans this. The fans that. The fans. No, it's not all on you. A lot of this is on the learners. Some of it's on you. Some of it's on the culture here. Some of it is on the event town aspect. But now they need you. They need you now more than ever. They don't just need you on Tuesday, October 2nd. They need you now. They need you when the ball club comes back from Atlanta. Hopefully, still in contention for the division. 800-636-1067. We'll grab your calls in just a couple of moments on the other side of an Earl Forsey. Top of the hour sports flash. Hang tight. We're just getting rocking and rolling on Overtime on the Fan. All right. Thank you very much to the Duke of Earl Forsey, for joining us and giving us the very latest. I'm Chris Russell. This is Overtime on a Wednesday night in the nation's capital. Finally, Landfill has left me alone. Brock finally got him out of the studio. Chased him out. Smoked him out. Sean Summers on the other side of the glass as well. He's like the executive producer of Nationals baseball now. Not JT the Vic anymore. Sean has eclipsed JT the Vic. That's what Charlie Slows and Dave Jackler told me today, exclusively. Breaking news. Sean Summers is now the executive producer and the better producer of Nationals baseball than JT the Vic. That's what I heard. I don't know if that's true or not. I'll let the you know, I'll let the sparks land where they may. But that's just what a little birdie told me, or maybe two little birdies told me before they went to Atlanta. They said they like working with Sean Summers better. Just saying. I don't know why. I don't know why everybody's down on JT the Vic. I personally like the guy. A couple of two, three times we talk, and, you know, I mean, he's a good guy. Good dude. Anyway, so here we go. Before we get into the Redskins, just want to, again, I wanted to address this. It's not a big deal that they lost 2 out of 3. It's not a huge problem that there were only 20,000 people in the building today. Again, I understand it's 1 o'clock. Terrible, terrible, awful, awful, awful decision by Major League Baseball and the Nationals for scheduling a 1 o'clock game when everyone's back in school and everyone's working. It's just, it makes literally no sense. And if it's the players' union, if it's the players' union deciding this, well then, A, we've got a problem because the players' union shouldn't be deciding, A, anything. B, why didn't the players' union then get involved in the Nationals having to play in Pittsburgh on Thursday night until 10:30 or whatever it was a week and a half ago, and then having to be in Chicago the next afternoon and playing a local 1:10 game? Why? So, I mean, don't give me the players' union, the players' union, the players' union, because the players' union didn't give a bleep about the Nationals a week and a half ago. Now all of a sudden we care about the Nationals and the Mets and wherever they've got to go? I mean, I don't understand that, quite honestly. So to me, it made absolutely zero sense. Before we welcome in Earl Forsey, I just want to grab this call and we'll clean out the phone lines here on Overtime, and then we'll get into some Redskins stuff and we'll mix back into the Nationals. Let's go to Brandon in Annandale on the Fan. Hey, Brandon, how are you?
Hey, Brewster, thanks for taking my call, man.
What's going on tonight, Brandon? Thanks for making it.
Well, so I have 2 points. The first, you know, I'm 24. I make decent money, not great money, but I've been to 5 games this year. Plan on going to the 6th next weekend when Atlanta comes in.
Sure.
I mean, it is expensive. I mean, and I'm trying to think of another major market that has a baseball team that has a metro system that's set up to fail the team as much as ours is. I mean, it's a nightmare. But, I mean, there are fans like us that are still trying. I just wanted to make that point.
No, before you go any further, number one, I'm not one of these guys. I know it sounds like I'm harsh. I'm not one of these guys that say, you know, you're not a good – I mean, I've worked with a lot of people, okay, and a lot of people that have been a lot more successful than me that call people terrible fans and say if you don't show up to the ballpark 20 times a year or 40 times a year, you're a bad fan. I don't play that game. You've gone 5, 6 times, whatever it is. You're doing your part. I have literally – the onus is not upon you, Brandon, or anyone – quite honestly, to again continue to line the learners' pockets. Now, would we like to see a better atmosphere? Would we like to see a better involved? Of course, all of that is true, but there are inherent problems that I do believe that prevent a lot of the casual fan base or a lot of the even more than casual fan base from being able to go.
Yeah, I agree, Rooster. I'm not saying that you are one of those guys. I agree. But my second point is, and you actually just said it, it is the learners, because a guy like Rendon, like you said, he has the personality of a salt team, but us fans, we couldn't care less. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy's a hell of a baseball player. He could be mute. We wouldn't care. He's arguably the MVP for the turnaround we've had since May.
Yeah.
I mean, he has just been incredible. But the thing is, he says we need us. Well, yes. I mean, it's not about the players. We love the players. But the learners are cheap. They farted around. Rendon is now going to test the market because he's going to make more there than the learners will get. They'll probably still be trying to defer him money when I have gray hairs in 60 years.
Yes.
I mean, it's ridiculous. So the learners have dug themselves this hole, and patience is running thin. And when Rendon leaves, if they think the attendance is bad now,
I know. It's a major concern because if average attendance is what, 27-ish thousand was the last number I heard, or I believe that is, you know, roughly give or take, it's probably going to be 23 or 24,000, especially if, like you said, Rendon leaves and they don't win a playoff series. I think that's – the way they can get past Rendon leaving is if they finally win, and I'm not talking about a one-game wild card, if they win the one-game wild card, assuming that they're in that, and then they win the league divisional series against the Dodgers, against the Braves, whoever it might turn out to be. Right now, it would be the Dodgers. If you can win a wild card game and win a round, even get to the championship series and lose in six or seven games or whatever, I think that would be enough to sustain a loss of Rendon. But if they lose in the playoffs, whether it be the wild card or that first divisional series round, and they lose Rendon, you can probably look at 22,000-23,000 as being the average attendance. Brandon, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for making it and for hopping aboard. If you want to weigh in on that throughout the night, you can, 800-636-1067. But before we hit our timeout and the first timeout of the hour, I want to say good evening and welcome aboard the host of Countdown to Kickoff this Sunday morning starting at 8 a.m.
Are you ready for some football?
There you go.
My goodness, am I ready?
Mr. Countdown to Kickoff. Oh, it is the Duke of Earl.
Apparently, I'm going to have to sit here and stick up for D.C. sports fans the rest of the night.
Well, that's not true. That's not true because I'm not killing and sabotaging.
A lot of people do. And okay. A lot of people do that aren't from this town.
That's fine.
And I can sit here because I'm from, born and raised in this town.
But you've heard what you've
DC
heard
sports
what I'm
fans,
saying, right?
Baseball fans. This is why they didn't have. This is why we, and I'm not saying we the team, but we as a city. It's why we lost the Senators twice,
right?
Because of the perceived. Well, nobody comes to baseball games.
Well, I mean, quite honestly, nobody goes to Wizards games and nobody goes to Redskins right. games. They only go to Capitals games. But Capitals games are easy to sell out because there's only 19,000 seats.
Rooster, you weren't here when you couldn't get a seat at RFK.
I understand
that. If you had a blood relative
I get it.
That died, you couldn't get
I
tickets
get it.
To RFK.
It's a different town. It's a different town. It's a – listen, I think the
so,
landscape –
there's a lot of fan shaming goes on in this town.
It's not fan shaming.
And it's the blue and the orange that make their way down from ugly old New York because they don't want to go to that stadium. They can't afford the seats there. They know there's fine.
Well, a bunch of them
fine.
Live here.
Go back.
Though.
Please go back. Take I-95. Hopefully, it takes you five and a half hours.
Not every
to get
Mets
back
fan
there
that comes down
with
here.
Your third place team in the NL East and your fifth place wild card team. Enjoy another horrendously disappointing season for the Miracle Mets.
It has been.
And the season series over. So good riddance
okay,
to you.
The Mets are
good freaking riddance.
The Mets are only 3 games over .500. Nobody would question who the better baseball team is. That's not what this is about. No. Even though the Mets won 2 out of 3, nobody cares. Okay? The Mets are not going
There's
anywhere.
So many factors.
This isn't about
I don't
the
want to
Mets.
Get the football thing. There's so many factors why people
but
go
do
to games, don't go to games. You're a bad fan if you don't go to games.
Brewster,
I grew up.
Did you hear me say that?
No, but it's been said, and
it has been said a lot.
The writers say it a lot.
It has been said on this station. I'm not going to call out anybody individually
because
it has been said on this station.
The carpetbaggers who come
wrong.
Down, come to town, and write whatever sport it is,
right.
That know nothing about the city, nothing about the sports, nothing about the local. You know, some sit here long enough, and they want to embrace themselves into the Washington, D.C. community and are considered local icons and fixtures. They're not. They're carpetbaggers. They're from different places and many times from New York. And we know New York is the center of the GD universe. We all know that, okay? I'm sorry, especially when it comes to sports. We're not New York. You know, come on.
Listen, I've said this a million times, though.
Lee Ilya in Chicago, 30 years ago. Do you hear that rant?
Yeah. Yes.
They weren't going there either.
City Field is a ghost town when it's not a big series, okay? It's
and
not that great.
And they're threatening players and their families
yes.
when they blow a seven-run lead tonight, six-run lead.
It is not that great of a home field advantage. The only thing I would defend it by saying is when the moment is there, when the moment is right, it is a much better
you
atmosphere.
You want to replay the Jason Worth home run that saved
well,
his
again?
Fans weren't there
yes,
for that?
The fans are there for the
you
playoffs.
Want to, and now the stadium rocks. Frank's call at RFK when they're beating the Cowboys. I mean, should we go back? It's that way everywhere, Brewster. It's when times are good, fans are going to come. When they're not. They're not. Simple.
I don't
Simple.
Always
we,
disagree.
We don't have the
I don't
right
always
atmosphere.
Disagree with that.
It's a sanitized
I don't
ballpark.
Always disagree
Would
with
you
that.
Rather
I mean,
go
that.
To Baltimore
no.
and go to cozy
no.
old Camden Yard? No.
No.
Hell
here,
no.
Here's what I want. Here's what I want. I was there on Labor Day. The team was 20 games over 500, yeah. Best team in baseball. I wanted more than 25,000 fans. I don't want to hear excuses about beach traffic and people on vacation and whatever. It was a day game. It was a holiday. Everyone
nobody's,
had off.
Nobody's going there. On Labor Day.
Why not? Sorry.
Because people are home at Labor Day.
Come on.
Relaxing.
I mean, you think 25,000 people showed up at
this,
Yankee Stadium on Monday?
And the city clears out. This is...
Okay.
Still, there's a large base of transplanted Washingtonians in this town. Even people who are based here and who have lived here most of their lives, they have allegiances elsewhere, other places, because they didn't grow up in D.C. And I'm not saying, and I know this is a point of contention, there are a lot of D.C.-based, born and bred sports fans in this town that are Redskin fans or Capital fans or what have you. Bullets. I go back to the Wizards. I mean, that's when I became an NBA fan, the early 70s, when we stole the team rightfully from Baltimore, brought them to D.C.
You hate every other town in the world outside of Washington, D.C.
No, I don't. I just despise
I just
Baltimore,
despise York,
and I can't
Baltimore,
stand New York.
Chicago,
so
Boston,
I'm in the majority.
Philadelphia,
I despise Baltimore, and I can't stand New York. I think I'm in the majority.
That's
sorry.
Foresee.
You're wrong again.
He'll join us. We'll get into the Redskins. We'll knock down your calls. I see Duke in Rockville. John in Fairfax will knock those calls down. This is Overtime on 106.7 The Fan and the Radio.com app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, along with Earl Forsey, I'm Chris Russell. Good to have you with us. Overtime on 106.7 The Fan.
Get my flashlight, my
10
lighter
o'clock.
On.
Prince. There you go. Turn the house lights down.
Three, four. Sound like Bruton. Three, four. Three times, I think, I saw Purple Rain.
Really?
When he was in town.
I think three or four. I never got to see Prince.
Oh, my God. Six, seven times.
Wow.
1999 tour. Purple Rain was with Sheila E. opening up. Love Sexy
I mean,
Sign of the Times
yeah,
tour.
Like I like Prince.
Oh, I love
but
Prince.
But I don't know if I don't know if I ever liked him enough to go see him in concert. And I understand
best,
he was a wonderful showman, but
best musician of not just a showman, best musician of my lifetime.
Okay. There you go. That's Earl Forsey. I'm Chris Russell. Sean.
Yeah. No? There was a no for
well,
you?
No, yeah. No. It's so funny because technology and society and the world has changed, and we've gone from all the people that used to smoke and just ingest Marlboro after Marlboro, right, to with the lighters, you know, at concerts. Now less people smoke, right? So now we've – and everyone's got a cell phone camera. So everyone does the cell phone camera.
So instead of watching the concert or enjoying it, they're taking bad video.
Well, yes, but my point is when people are swaying back and forth, it's no longer the lighter that it used to be because
nothing's the same anymore.
60% of
the – Doesn't mean it's better.
No, I didn't say that. I mean, I used to smoke, but I don't know if I ever did – I don't know if I ever did that with a lighter. I'm just saying people used to use their lighters as that. Now everybody uses their cell phone or their smartphone when they sway back and forth.
They have the lighter app on their phone.
A lighter app. There you go.
You haven't seen that?
I haven't touched that one yet. All right, Earl Forsey is with us. We'll get into the Redskins.
Craig Hoffman will join us. Brewster's going to continue bashing D.C. sports fans.
I am not. You got to stop this.
He was at the game outwardly rooting for the Mets
today. I was not.
Yes, he was. I'm making that up, but I'm guessing.
Exactly. I was in the press box. I was a working member of the press. I was detailing and analyzing Anibal Sanchez's off-speed pitch.
There were working members of the press at the game today, huh?
There were.
Oh.
There were probably more members of the press than... Oh, sorry. Anyway, let's get to John and Fairfax. What's up, John? How are you?
Hey, what's going on, Chris? Good time talking to you. I haven't done it in a while. How
Absolutely,
are you?
John. Good to hear from you.
And also, Earl, he and I went back 25 years ago over at the station down the dial there.
Oh,
yeah. I graduated to FM radio years ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
in stereo.
Earl's a little fired up tonight. I've got him a little bit fired up. He's on edge.
Brewster, I'm always on edge, just usually not here.
Yeah. I went to the game the other day on Sunday because my friend, he's got a season ticket package. And I paid for the ticket because he's in the club level. It's a decent seat. But that's my third game of the year. One was free. The other was a discounted ticket, and then that full price. And to be honest with you, you don't want to keep saying it, but the Metro situation is what it is. The ticket cost is what it is. But I also think since you guys have the team on your station, wouldn't it be nice if maybe Mark Lerner could every once in a while come on your station and pump it up to the fans and say, look, we're going to do something nice for you during the season. We're not going to wait till the end of the season and put the thing in the thank you in the post at the end of the season. We're going to do some creative, fun things for the fans. Not that they all don't already. They do. But, you know, we're gonna sign Anthony. We're going to sign Victor. We're going to sign Trey. We're going to sign Juan. We're gonna keep the core together, and we're gonna do it because fans get frustrated when they spend their money and the stars don't get signed. Whether you win or lose, and I'm someone who has been a season ticket holder. I don't care about the regular season. I want to go and see a win in the postseason. So far, they're over.
Well. And I do wonder how much of an effect that obviously has because, again, we've talked, everybody has talked, and I think this is responsible. It's an event town. Yes, the Capitals sell out every regular season home game, but, again, they're selling out 19,000 seats. If the Nationals only had to sell 19,000 seats, they'd have a sellout, Ooh. Too. So, I mean, it's a different context. It's a different sport. I do believe
hockey there's a very loyal fan base. And it's about the size of the arena.
Right.
I mean,
There's more than half the seats.
The Nats have a lot of elderly or retired folks who have disposable income, and they sit and they enjoy the games. I've talked to them for years. They're their biggest season ticket base.
Yeah.
Elderly folks who have money.
Well, here's the thing that they need to do. They need to tap into the 20-somethings that have a lot of disposable income that they're apparently not tapping enough into. John, appreciate the phone call. Always good to hear from you.
Are those folks showing up at Fenway? Or are they showing up in Chicago?
I mean, listen, I see them at the ballpark.
They have the Bud area. Yeah. They've got, the party deck.
I see them.
What are you going to do?
I'm just saying more consistently.
Eventually.
Not just on a Friday. Like even Friday night, fireworks night. And now, I know the Marlins suck, and the Marlins have no fans. I got it. 26,000? On Friday night? That was kind of disappointing. Now, people get mad at me, again, because I say that and they think I'm picking on the fans. Again, I'm not just picking on the fans, or I'm not picking on the fans exclusively. I'm saying that is a disappointing
crowd. It's not just the Nats,
when you're the best team in baseball.
You know, media shows up at the preseason game over at FedEx. Well, here's a shot of the fan. There's one guy here. Well, you know, what do you expect? Do you expect 58, what is it?
No, here's what I expect.
Fans aren't packing frickin' Foxborough for their preseason games.
There's a lot of fan shaming.
There's a lot of fan bashing. There is in D.C.
Okay.
D.C. is a second-class sports town.
They don't have loyal fans.
Yet it's one of the few major cities in the United States that has every major sports team.
Earl, let me ask you this.
Always has, for the most part.
If you owned a restaurant that was consistently half full instead of three quarters full, 90% full, 100% full, and we're talking prime times, right? If you owned a restaurant and you saw it was consistently half full, you would try and get your business to improve, right? You would try and do things, create specials, two for one, discounts, whatever it might be, other entertainment, live.
My take usually is the problem is not me, it's usually you. No.
I mean, if you're a business owner, you've got to do things to spur business, to spur an increase in sales, to make it more valuable, to make it
Can't
more
make
desirable.
People smart and appreciate good things. The customer's not always right. And I grew up in small business.
So what So after basically defending,
you know what, anyway.
After basically defending the fan base and saying that I'm fan shaming and others are fan shaming, you're basically saying the customer is not always right?
Yes.
And that they should just show up like a bunch of mule and just.
No, I'm just saying that people have options.
Well, they
in this
do
town.
Have options. Yes. You know, every what, town has
what are you
options.
Gonna, I mean, how many times are you going to go to the Domino's sugar plant in Baltimore? I mean, what are you going to do up there, right?
No, I understand that.
Now, a place like New York, I know, has options. Chicago has options.
When people have options, that means as a business, you have to do more and more to compete.
But you know as well as I do in today's era, and it's not just right now. It's been this way for decades. With the money's made off TV. You know, it's
not in baseball. It's not
more it's local money. It's local TV.
Yeah, I know,
money.
But that's part of the problem is they're not getting the money.
Well,
they're
not getting the money.
I mean, that's
because
why
the
they've been
Orioles
fighting
have
Masson,
been, you know, tucking it away in Peter Angelos's trust
eventually
fund
they
for
will
20
get,
years.
Eventually they will get that money.
But that's where the money. Look, right. It's great to have the fan base. And I'm not saying they don't make money off of that. But, you know, as well as I do, the actual fans, look, it's more about selling the other products once you get the fans in the stadium. Than actually
yes,
selling the
but the more
tickets.
Fans you have in the stadium, the more of that merchandise
great,
or beer
it'd
or
be
hot
great
dogs
to
you could sell.
Pack the stands every night.
Okay.
Be great. And I'm sure the Golden State Warriors had a few empty seats about 10 years ago.
Yes.
And now I'm sure they don't have any anymore.
No.
Why is that?
I mean, obviously
why is
there's,
that?
There's a demand because they
because
won a lot.
Won. Because they won.
I understand
they,
that.
That's the way you
the
create
Nationals
demand.
The Nationals have won a lot
it's
in the regular season. They have
in
not
another
won enough
big
in the postseason.
TV or a 360-degree video
there's
screen.
There's lots of reasons.
Or, you know, $5 burger night. Or it's not that. It's look, I'm a simple
the
sports fan.
The Redskins were 6-3
create
last year.
The demand,
still nobody
people,
was going.
Because in today's day and age, too, now it's all about style points
okay,
as well.
Okay, well, I mean,
and we do
I mean
have
again, we continue
people
to
in local media
reasons.
That will, well, 6-3, but that doesn't mean anything. It's not fun to watch. It's not exciting.
Again, society
no, me,
has changed.
6-3, but wins are fun.
I mean, this isn't
wins
1978 anymore.
Winning is fun. Crushing the opponent, defeating the opponent, that's fun. I don't care how it's done. Winning is fun. Hello, winning, that's fun. And that's how you create interest.
That's why you play the game.
That's how you create the demand. I mean, am I a dinosaur? No. I just appreciate what sports is about.
Okay.
Keeping score. If winning didn't matter, if it was about style points, we decide Super Bowl titles and rings and O'Brien trophies and World Series trophies by stats.
No, you have
we
to win.
Don't.
You have
you
to
have
win and
to
have
win.
Style points. You have to win and be entertaining, period. Winning alone
winning
is
entertaining
not,
for it, a lot it, of people.
It, well,
and
in
unfortunately,
society,
and today, well, that doesn't mean they're right. That just means that's their opinion.
Okay.
And, you know, forgive me if I question anybody's right, you know, to have that opinion, and I know I'm blatantly wrong because I value still winning in sports. And I like to see the local teams, the teams I'm a fan of, actually win games because that leads to possibly winning championships. But, no, I'm wrong because it's all about style points. Okay, fine.
Are you doing the update here or no? What do you?
Sure I am.
Okay.
Then what do you want to know?
I want to know that we have to take a break.
Okay, that's right.
For the
we're
bottom of the hour update, I just wanted to make sure you were ready and not just bring
I'm
it on.
Ready.
Just snap my finger and expect that you were doing it.
It's been done for 30 years.
There
why,
you go.
Why would it change now?
The Duke of
I'm always ready. And it's probably going to be brilliant and excellent is my guess because that's what I do. Can't make people appreciate it, but I appreciate
Let's
it.
Let's find out together, boys and girls,
is.
How brilliant, how
always
ready,
is.
How right he is. Earl Forsey. Nice day turned into a rainy Wednesday night in the nation's capital and beyond. But it's
what,
hot in here, Earl
what
Forsey.
What are you
is
looking
all
at?
Fired. What do you mean?
I just looked at the pavement. It's dry.
Wet all on our window, and all I can see is rain. It looks like rain out
I think
there.
That was from a past storm.
Well, okay. Maybe it's not raining right
it's
now,
raining.
But it was raining is what I'm saying. Earl, you're all fired up and mad at me for...
No, I'm not mad at you. I just, you know, I said because I don't get many opportunities to do this, so I've got to...
I hear you. So you got to take
open
all,
up,
all
you know,
your anger and
all
venom
cylinders.
Out on me.
Well, sometimes. No, just, alongside.
Just because I'm from New York and Earl hates New York.
Please, it's not just you, Rooster. There's a long line on... I've got a longer list than Chris Jericho. Let me put it that way.
You just made the list! That's great. Did you see Chris Jericho's AEW title got stolen?
No. It's good to see him back.
Yeah. So he won the AEW title, this All Elite Wrestling, which is, by the way, going to debut on TNT.
Which is
on Wednesday, October 3rd
here.
Which is bankrolled
by the Khan family, right?
Yes.
The owner of the Jaguars, his son.
Tony Khan, Shad Khan, absolutely. So they're gonna debut on TNT on a weekly Wednesday night thing here at Capital One Arena on Wednesday, October 3rd, right? So Chris Jericho, on a pay-per-view, won in Chicago on Saturday night, won the title. And apparently he went to a Logan's Roadhouse or some sort of steak chain restaurant Sunday afternoon upon returning to Florida where he lives. And somehow, some way, he forgot his bag or forgot his luggage or whatever at the airport. So he sent his driver back to the airport to get it. And somehow, some way, the belt just disappeared. And now they can't find it. And the Tallahassee Police Department did this. They tweeted it saying, "Don't worry, champ. We got the belt." And they showed a police officer with the belt around. And then all of a sudden, they had to delete it because it turned out to be not true that they didn't have the belt. And I don't know if this is a big wrestling gimmick right now. It sounds kind of like one.
Could be a shoot. Yeah.
I was just bringing it up because you mentioned Chris Jericho.
I mentioned the great Chris Jericho.
We got a bunch of calls, and people want what? William in Rockville wants us to fight, Earl. Is this true? You want us to really go at it, Will?
Well, Rooster, I know that you love wrestling. I would love to see him just like give you a forearm shiver to the face and just have one post on the radio for the rest of the night.
So violent.
Wait a second. So you want Earl to give me a forearm shiver and then to take over the show and so that I'm denied doing the show?
It's a hostile takeover, man.
Hey, it's a hostile takeover, and you'll still get paid. You'll just be laid on the floor.
Could be a new world order.
Is that
new,
because new, you don't new, like new me on order. The radio, or just because you want to see Earl get his, you know?
I love you on the radio, Rooster, but I'd rather see you on the floor being quiet.
Oh, my goodness. Okay,
well,
there you go.
I mean, listen, that's an interesting way to express your love for me.
All love. See you, bud.
Thank you, Will. I love you, Rooster. I just want to see you get punched in the face.
I would never do
and
that.
Lying on the floor.
I would never do that to you.
Oh. Somebody else at the radio station?
No.
Okay.
Not here.
I want to create a little family feud. 800-636-1067. Let's get to Duke in Rockville, who's been hanging on for a while. What's up, Duke? How are you?
Yeah, thanks. Just two quick things. One, first, I agree with Earl about winning. That would cure everything. Let me give you an example. If the Nationals were 120-0 right now, you wouldn't be able to get a ticket, and people wouldn't be calling into your show saying the Nationals need to have more bobblehead.
So you just called up,
but they are 78-60.
So you just called up to be a smartass, is what you did tonight. No, you are. Drop him.
This is the smartest part.
Get rid of him. Get rid of him. Done.
Let me.
You don't need to do that to me. I don't need to pay. Don't patronize me. Don't call up and obviously be a blatant smartass. Oh, if they're 120-0. Of course.
There's no need to be belligerent.
Of course there is. Because you called with, you know, that's whatever you think it is. But to me, that's belligerent.
Okay, but he's using.
That's patronizing.
What he's,
I don't need patronizing. Okay. And certainly don't need it.
So let me ask you this. If the Nationals were...
From someone who calls in.
Okay, let's look at this. Wait. They're 78-60 right now. If they were 90 and 48...
But it's not about...
Do you think it would be 20,000 people there?
No, if the fans hadn't seen this before, this old freaking song, same time, same bat channel, of a team making a big playoff push and they got things lined up, it's the damage that has been done, and it's not just the Nationals. We saw it with the Capitals. Look, they were getting fans. They're going to sell out that arena. There's no problem with that. But when they made President's Trophy and they make the President's Cup, or President's Trophy, I guess, in that sport, and they make the playoffs and they get bounced by whatever, the Penguins, and they do it again.
There was a malaise and a frustration and a non-buy-in for the regular season. There was the core fans that would go to no matter what, right? That are season
Rooster,
ticket holders that love going to hockey.
My sons
and I love
are
them.
Not as big a sports fan
right.
as I am, certainly, and not engaged in the local teams like I am. And look, we're all new really relatively new baseball fans in this town. It has not been a baseball town. It's not Baltimore. It's not New York. It's not Chicago. It's not L.A. We haven't had baseball, some of us, you know, since the 1930s. Hey, everybody, hit the ball. You know, it's not, you know, there was no black and white Nationals, right. Well, you know, footage.
You've had baseball, but in Baltimore.
That's not baseball.
Right.
That's not our baseball.
Right.
They've always wanted it to be, right. Which is why for a number of years, the Orioles marketed themselves as the Orioles. That's why they went to Orioles and they've gone back now to some wearing Baltimore. They stopped wearing Baltimore on the jersey.
Right, because
they were trying to make it marketed as a regional team.
Sure.
No, you keep your second-rate sports city up there. We're fine down here by ourselves. And eventually we got a team back in this town after having for basically two decades to apologize for why didn't fans show up for the Senators. Why? Because it was bad ownership then. They were really bad teams for a lot of the time then. There was a lot of factors involved. And if you look back at some of the numbers with the attendance, it wasn't that far an outlier from a lot of teams that weren't drawing anyway. So there was a lot of so we were told for two decades basically in this town, you're not worthy of having a baseball team. No, okay, fine. Would you just root for the Redskins, who were, you know, printing NFC championships and trips to the Super Bowl in the 70s and 80s, basically, and certainly the 80s and early 90s under Joe Gibbs. So that's why this was a Redskin town. Why was it a Redskin town? Now, this is before my time, but they weren't. They were a horrendous franchise, and there's a lot of ownership stuff in the past with the Redskins. Bad stuff with, you know, being the last team to integrate, that type of thing, under George Preston Marshall. But Sonny, that era, and then the Lombardi era, kind of started to turn things around. Then the 70s, when I became a football fan and a Redskins fan, that's when things turned around under George Allen, which, get off in another tangent on Bruce Allen, all that. But the Allen family name, and I know a lot of people just want to yuck and just make fun of it, but the Allen family name to longtime Redskin fans in this town still means a lot.
Which is what part of the reason why he still has a job, by
Well,
the way.
Of course. It's part why it, he's yeah. in that franchise to begin Absolutely. With. So, getting off of that tangent, the fact of the matter is that team took over, but why? Because they started winning, and then the Gibbs era started, and they became a dominant team, a year-in, year-out perennial
contender. Success.
And that's when the stadium became the sellout, and, you know, in a day where there were blackouts on television locally, you couldn't see the game if it wasn't sold out locally. And a lot of fans didn't see their local games because of that. Redskins always did. They were always on. The D.C. games were always on in D.C. because they always were sold out. And, you know, you had to will your tickets to your kids. That's not the case anymore. I know that. But so this is a relatively new baseball town. You're asking people really, you know, to make an effort to come down. It's tough to get people to go to 8 games for a football game to come down and, you know, watch 81.
Yeah, no,
that's a lot.
It's a lot, but that's why you have to do different things to get more people in the ballpark.
And certain people love being there. Certain people can't either do it logistically or can't afford to do it.
We have to take a time out here on Overtime. We'll come back, finish up this hour. I promise we'll get to the Redskins. Craig Hoffman will join us at 8:30. For more on his day at Redskins Park, that's coming up right here on Overtime on The Fan. Along with Earl Forsey, we just got a complaint. Mike on Twitter, and he specifically started it out with you. He said, while I appreciate your passion about the plight of the D.C. Homer, and he says, in parentheses, I'm on Team Earl here. When you and WrestleMania 621 talk over each other, it makes the show unlistenable. Please take turns. So Mike is annoyed that we are talking over each other. How about that?
Yeah.
I like getting unplugged, Earl.
You're my freaking program director now?
Earl gets a little
You're enough
salty.
Of that stuff at the other place I work.
I love it. That's so great. I love Unplugged Earl.
Yeah.
Earl in the evening, man. Fired up. Ready to go. Ready to take no prisoners.
Wish you cared. Continue. Take another call. Hopefully another condescending call toward me. We'll see.
No, he was condescending towards me, too.
Yeah, I know.
It wasn't just you.
The last call was.
Oh, well, yes.
Particularly condescending.
That sent you over.
I don't handle that.
Yeah, no, I can tell. But seriously, there are a lot of thought, okay, that if you just win, they will come. So I asked you if the Nationals were 90-48 instead of 78-60, do you think they would be drawing 32,000, 34,000, 35,000 plus? I don't think they would be.
No, but it's tough to go to those games, and it's any game, any sport. I'm not harping on the Nats. It's expensive to go to a professional sport. Look,
which is again the problem.
If I could get Caps tickets, there's another reason I can't go to the Caps games. I can't afford it.
But Earl, this is what I'm talking about. People think that we're just bashing fans. We're not. No. We're bashing the teams, the owners, the people that make these decisions.
Yeah, but they've got to make.
I walked.
And they
play
plenty of money.
I walked.
But what
out,
do you want them to? You want Arthur Blank? You know? To
no. Here's
$6
my thing. You know what I want? I walked out with a buddy of mine today, about an hour after the game, right on the way here. And we walked down the left field line, and I passed a beer stand, and I know how egregious these pricing the prices are, but it said a 24-ounce beer was $16. I don't know how people like even justify paying that kind of price.
But everything's expensive, and it's not just sports.
I understand it doesn't have to be.
You know, and I understand logistics.
Not everything is expensive, right? Yeah. You can still go into Subway and get a $5 sub or $6 sub. That's not that. It's not price gouging. That's the point. Professional sports has become about gouging people for every last damn dollar that they
which
have.
Which is why the fan base has gone more from average Joe fan to corporate
okay.
fan. To
but that,
companies buying seats, you know, group
maybe
of tickets,
it doesn't
that type
the,
of thing.
Maybe it doesn't
the people
bother
who
the
can
learners.
Afford it.
Maybe it doesn't bother the learners that they have only 20,000 people there. It should.
They do pretty well in business. I don't think that's, you
well,
know,
it's even that, more the reason why they can make it affordable.
That is also not going to determine whether fans show up, whether or not they want to or can or will re-sign Anthony Rendon, or why they didn't re-sign or couldn't re-sign Bryce Harper. Everybody wants, well, if the fans would have showed up and supported them, they would have been able to keep Harper. Or when they lose Rendon, you're going to hear the same thing. If,
I don't
if
think it has
happens,
anything to do with that. The learners can pay for
that.
This out of pocket, no problem. They choose.
There's no doubt.
They choose to hold a knife to people's throats. That's what they're doing. That's in the business sense. That's what they do, and I hate to keep just bashing them, but you know that's a problem. Let's go to Rich in Manassas on the fan. Rich, how are you?
Hey, how are you today?
What's up, Rich?
Well, here's the deal. I think that it's a geographic situation, right? Can you hear me?
Yes, gotcha.
Oh, good. Our suburban area is gigantic. I live in Manassas. I've been here 43 years. I'm a diehard Nats fan. I watch every single game on television. I don't not go because of the money. I don't go because it's inconvenient. That's the primary concern. And Russell, I was going to rag on you a little bit for tearing us apart.
Uh-huh.
But the truth of the matter is, you're right in some respects, because the learners could probably do more to pull fans from this large geographic area. Create a package deal where you get the bus ride and the food and the drinks, right? And they'd probably draw more fans. It's a geographic concern issue. It always has been in this area. The other markets are very condensed. People live in close proximity to those stadiums. It's easy for me to go to a game or stay after work and go to a game.
I understand.
It turns a 7 o'clock after, you know, normal day that I get home at 7 o'clock to a midnight.
Well, it does. Home, and so you have to leave if you're in the suburbs, leave at 4:30 to get to the game in time to get in.
Oh,
and
it's impossible.
But it's not. Atlanta's a tough place to get to now. They've got their stadium north side of town. Have you ever driven in traffic in Atlanta before?
What are they averaging? I don't even know what they're averaging.
Or New York.
Here's the difference. Here's the difference. In Atlanta, people live in the city. They live in the city.
But that stadium's not in the city anymore.
The ballpark's not in the city anymore.
And you know what? The one thing, and we can attest to this with our studios down here now, there's a lot more people living in D.C. these days.
Yeah.
There's a base of non, and it was, you know, it's, a city that had a lot of folks living in the suburbs, commuting to town, and then leaving at 5 p.m. or 4:30. That's changing a lot.
Which is why you're seeing the play, like games like the Cap Center and selling out all the time. 16, 18,000 seat venues, right? When you have 80 some games with a 60,000 plus seat base, we're only 5,000 or 6,000 on average below the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah.
So I think it's something we have to grow accustomed to, and keep this in mind. The Lerners are the perfect owners for this area. We have baseball. They can afford to deal with 25,000, 30,000 attendance.
Yeah, and that's my point.
Venues.
If they're fine with it, then they're fine with it. Appreciate the phone call, Richard.
And what success?
One.
Look at this area, Rooster.
Yeah.
Look at everything is built
everything
up.
Is
Isn't
being,
this a success?
Yes.
Are you going to count, you know,
everything has
in
been
the
redeveloped.
Seats to say, well, it's
yeah.
of the whole. And I will point out, too, when A. Poland wanted to move from Cap Center and build that arena downtown in Chinatown, people thought he was crazy for doing that. No one's going to go downtown to an arena in the city. And look what's happened.
Oh, yeah.
Fans flock there for the Capitals. And look what happened, which is the model that, you know, the Nats Stadium kind of was built off of, because
it's the model
it revitalized
that's been done. Yes.
that whole area, Chinatown, the convention center, and all that. And there many people thought he was nuts for doing that.
Yeah, people have
in
to
this town.
People have to understand there is growth and benefits because of a stadium. If the Lerners are fine with it being 20,000 to 25,000, then they're fine. I mean, they probably look at it as saying, well, you know, I mean, we'll get what we get, but we're not gonna bend over backwards to give you guys discounts. We're just not gonna do it. We're gonna offer a couple of little discounts and a couple of freebies here and there, but we're not just gonna bend over backwards because we're okay if 22,000 show up. We don't care. We're worth $5.2 billion. So what if we're worth $5.5 billion? We're fine as it is. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067, top of the hour. Earl's got the update in just a couple of minutes. Hang tight, guys. We see you on the phones. We'll get to you right away as soon as we can on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.